beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God is good. Come on, God is good. And all the time. Good evening, everyone. It is nice to see you in the house of God, nicely spaced. Thank you very much for coming. And I also extend greetings to those connecting via the internet, YouTube, Facebook, however you are connecting with us. We are delighted to have you, and I am sure all of heaven is also pleased with your interest in the Word of God. In these troubling times in which we live, the answers we need are in the Word of God, because those answers deal not only with this present life, but also with the life to come. And having said that, let me say this. Do not be so concerned with this life that you forget there's a life to come. There's a sermon I preached 7 months ago called Miles and Inches. This life is like an inch. It ends quickly. We're like grass. The life to come is endless. But we spend more time on this than we spend on preparing for that. And we call ourselves intelligent. The life to come is endless. This life is brief. Do not be so absorbed in this life that you ignore the life to come. And that's my brotherly word to you this evening. So welcome. Thank you very much. And again, my dear friends on the internet, may the Lord supremely bless you. And thank you for being with us. Are there any guests among us, any visitors among us? Non-Adventists? All right. I'm sure they are watching via the internet. And every day I talk with those associated with this program, I discover more and more the various countries where people connect. I hesitate to call the names of countries because invariably I will omit someone, but I had to call these two. St. Lucia, which is where my parents are from. And I understand they're watching from Barbados. It is my homeland. So I had to call those two. But wherever else you are, I have friends all over the world. Thank you very much for connecting with us. I mean that very sincerely. And I believe with all my heart and soul that the Lord will bless you. Our subject for today, identical twins are not identical. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you very much for this privilege we have to come before you. It is my duty and my honor to speak the words of life, and I humble myself before you, asking for forgiveness of sins first, a cleansing day, God, that I may be a fit instrument in your hands. Bless those who connected, Father, those in person. Let the Spirit of truth speak to every one of us, dear God, please. Bless every country represented, Father. Some are more heavily affected by this COVID-19 crisis than others. And I ask you to be particularly generous towards those where the effect is very, very severe. And first of all, for your people, dear God, think of them, bless them, take care of them, provide for them, Father. And then on a larger scale, provide because you are a merciful God. For those who've lost their jobs, Father, provide for them, dear God. For those who have contracted the disease, heal them, Father, please. And for the rest who have not yet contracted it, protect them from it, dear God. Please be merciful to us in all areas of our lives. And as we see the expressions of your mercy and your goodness, let that draw us even closer to you. Now, dear God, take full possession of me so that it is you speaking and not I. I ask this in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject, identical twins are not identical. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. We'll read from verse 9. It's a very, very well-known story in the Bible. Luke 18, reading from verse 9. Luke is gospel number 3. If You have that? Will somebody say amen? All right. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's review the details of this story that Jesus told. The verse says, verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. Two. What's our subject? Identical twins are not identical. So we have two men. We have two males. On that score, they're the same. They went to the same place. With respect to location, they're the same. Two men, the same place, the temple. Regarding their reason for going, they both went for the same reason to pray. Two men, same thing, went up to the temple, same place, to pray, same purpose. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Verse 11. In verse 13, the publican standing afar off, they both stood. Two men, they're the same. Went to the temple, same. To pray, same. They both stood to pray, same. Now, they both prayed. The intention was to pray, but sometimes intention and outcome are not always the same. And so the intentions were the same, and the outcome was the same. Let's review. Two men, the same. Went to the temple, same place. To pray, same purpose. They both stood and prayed, same posture. They both prayed, same outcome. Listen to verse 14. Well, before we get to verse 14, one other similarity. They both address the Almighty as God. In verse 11, the Pharisee said, God, I thank thee. In verse 13, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Six areas of sameness, identical for each. Verse 14. I say that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now here's where they diverge. Here comes the difference. One man went down to his house justified. What does that mean? Made right with God, not the other. In all other aspects, they were the same. Identical. God's response separated the two. He accepted one and did not accept the other. This is very similar to two other men who came to pray and worship. One called Cain, one called Abel. They both came to worship. Identical. They both brought something. Identical. They both offered it. Identical. God's response was different. And in his response, he separated the two. He accepted Abel and his sacrifice. He rejected Cain and his sacrifice. Identical twins are not identical. They have different fingerprints. They may have the same eyes, the same hair, genetic structure, whatever, but the fingerprint is different. Because God ultimately does not clone. No two things are alike in God's system. No two snowflakes are alike, have ever been found to be alike. No two leaves are precisely alike. Now, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a biologist, a physiologist, but I believe no two cells of the body are precisely alike. But I can't prove it. But because in other areas, God does not absolutely reproduce the same thing, no two cells in the body, I believe, are precisely alike. These two men outside the garden, Cain and Abel, identical in some areas, God's response separated them and showed the difference. Those two men of whom Jesus spoke in Luke 18 identical in all these areas, but with regard to the response of God, they were absolutely different. God accepted one, rejected the other. But both came to pray and worship. Cain and Abel, the Pharisee, and the publican. Let us look then at worship. I should tell you, this is a very hard-hitting message tonight. I may have to go beyond 8, but I'll see. Let's look at worship in the Bible, and we will use a fundamental law of interpreting the Bible. This law is called the law of first mention. It simply means any subject in the Bible you study, go where that is first mentioned, and then trace it from there all the way through the Bible. For instance, if you want to study grace, you don't go to Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are we saved. You go to Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace. You identify what grace means where it first enters the Bible. It will provide you with a principle, and that principle will remain unchanged from Genesis to Revelation. If you want to understand righteousness by faith, you don't begin in Romans and Galatians. You go to Genesis 15, chapter 6, and he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. If you want to study the word of the Lord, you don't go to Jeremiah. You go to Genesis 15, or Genesis 15, 2 and 4. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. Verse 1 of Genesis 15. Let's go now to see where the word worship first occurs in the Bible, and we will identify the central guiding principle that must be held onto as we study worship right through the Bible. Genesis 22, reading from verse 1. Let me pray again. Father in heaven, I sincerely ask you to continue to be with me, dear God. Give me the right words. I really ask you to give me the right words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Genesis 22, reading from verse 1, in the life of Abraham. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Now, the word tempt in that verse does not mean tempt to sin. It really means to try or to test. Let me get that very clear. God does not tempt people to sin. James 1:13, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God tempts no one to sin. So when the Bible says God tempted Abraham, he tested him. He said, Behold, here I am. Verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God tells Abraham, sacrifice Isaac. Notice God calls Isaac his only son, even though Abraham also had Ishmael. But with respect to the covenant and the plan of salvation, Isaac was the only son of faith. And what counts has to be of faith, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and Ishmael was the result of sin. I don't mean to offend the Muslim brothers. Ishmael was the result of sin. Isaac was the result of faith in God. Will somebody say amen? And so God says, you really got one son, that is Isaac. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Which God had told him of. Now, verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his servants, his two young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and do what? Worship, and come again to you. In order to understand what Abraham meant when he said we're going to worship, we have to go back to verse 2. What did God tell Abraham to do? Offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Now, Abraham could have taken a cow or a goat. But it is clear Abraham did not take any animals, because when the Lord delivered Isaac from that grisly death, Abraham looked around and found a ram in the thicket. but he did not take any animals. He was going to do exactly what God said. And so he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Behold, here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Another evidence that Abraham did not take any animals. He was going according to God's requirements and God's direction. In other words, Abraham was doing what? Obeying God. And Abraham said, My son, the Lord will provide him a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now I want you to go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, reading verse 17. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 17, our subject, identical twins are not identical. We're looking at worship. You have Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, did what? Offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What is the Bible saying? The Bible writes as if Abraham literally and physically went through with the killing of his son. While he did not do that, because of the willingness and his desire to obey God, the Bible records as if it was actually done. Perhaps I didn't make that clear. The Bible records the incident with Abraham offering his son as if he actually did it. Why? Because it was in his heart to do that. And so the Bible says he offered up his only begotten son, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. It is recorded as though he did it, because God begins with this, not with this. We go back to Genesis 22. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. In other words, God said, Now I know how you relate to me, because you have done exactly what I said. Give me one word for that. You have obeyed me. My brothers and sisters, we study worship in Genesis 22. And we must conclude, the guiding principle of worship is obedience. Go to 1 Samuel 15. No, let's not go there because I don't have time. I'll see if I can get there later. Let's go to Revelation. Let's look at worship again. By the way, worship is the central issue that will affect this world in the last days. Let me say it again. The conditions in the world will boil down into, do we worship God or do we worship man-made authorities? And we will have to make a choice. The choice we make then will be based on the small choices we make now. No one comes to that crisis without having practiced fidelity and faithfulness to God now. You cannot obey then if you have not obeyed now. Revelation 13. We'll read from verse 1. Let me pray. Father, as I enter this most important of books, the book in which all other books culminate, speak through me, I pray. Give me clear ideas and thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw, now in prophecy, a beast is a kingdom, a power. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. This is a view of an end time entity which already exists on the earth. And I'll see how the Holy Spirit leads me with regard to identification. The dragon gave the beast power, his seat, and great authority. The Greek word there for three is thronos, meaning a throne on which a potentate or a king or a leader sits. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Stop. And they worshiped the dragon. Now, who is the dragon? Revelation chapter 12. Let's read verse 9. It's also identified in Revelation 20, verse 2. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Who is the dragon? Satan. Now we go back to Revelation 13, and we read verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The implication is, you see, no one goes right to the devil and worships him. Well, a few people do. But that's not how it works. We worship, not we, people worship him through something else. Are you following me? That's why Paul says, when you worship an idol, you're not worshiping an idol. The idol is stone. You're worshiping the devil. Let me say it again. When you bow to an idol, you're bowing to the devil, because you don't pray to stone. The stone is cement. Wood. You carve a piece of wood, looks like a man. You pray to it. You're praying to the devil. And so they worship the devil, which gave power unto the beast. And when you see worship, you know, immediately we're talking about religious behavior. The beast is worshipped. The dragon, the invisible power behind this beast, is also worshipped. You worship one, you worship the other. Now, we have to figure out, well, we'll find the word worship further down as we go through chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. What great thing? And blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. In the Bible, blasphemies are narrowed down to claiming to be God, claiming to be able to forgive sins. Blasphemous words against God. In 7 we're told, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This power will have influence on a worldwide basis. Verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now, when you see all that dwell upon the earth, you have to know except a few. Are you following me? Except a few. When you read in the Bible, all people do this or all people do that, you have to pause and say, it means overwhelmingly, but there are a few. Let me give an example of that. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Let's read verse 19. Let me give you a biblical example. 1 John 5, reading verse 19. 1 John is towards the back of the Bible. You have that? 1 John 5, 19. And we know that we are of God. That's a special group. Now finish the verse. And the whole world in wickedness. Now, wait a minute. The whole world, he said, yet he says first, we are of God. So clearly what he means is the whole world except this few that is faithful to God. If that's clear, say amen. Well, listen again to Revelation 12, 9, which we read. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth what? The whole world. But we have to say except a few. So we go back to Revelation 13, 7. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now they identify whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so the Bible says most people on the earth will worship this power that is backed up by Satan. So we have worship twice in verse 4. Excuse me, and we have worship in verse 8 of Revelation 13. Let's go to verse 15, looking at another beast. That beast is introduced in verse 11, but we'll skip those. Verse 15, verse 15 of Revelation 13, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not what? Worship the image of the beast should be killed. This is an end time prophecy. Let me put it bluntly. Before Christ comes, there will be a law passed requiring worship a certain way. Those who do not obey will face a death penalty. This is not new in the Bible, because Daniel faced a death penalty for not praying to a man. The three Hebrew boys faced a death penalty for not bowing to an image. So in Revelation, we have the beast, and we have the image of the beast. And verse 15 of 13 tells us that this power will have authority to compel people to worship a certain way, and those who stand for the right will be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in the forehead. Verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. We go back to verse 17. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Now, God has a mark. God has a sign. Sign, mark, same thing. Token, same thing. God's sign, Ezekiel 20 verse 12, 20 verse 20, is the Sabbath. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, Ezekiel 20 verse 12. And I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign, Ezekiel 20 verse 20. It's also Exodus 31 verse 13 to 17. The Sabbath of God is a sign between God and his people. Now, what Sabbath is that? It is the seventh day Sabbath. That's the sign of God. And so God requires us to give him special worship on a certain day. Now, I say special worship because we are to worship God how many days in the week? 7 days a week. But there's one day that is different from all other days. That is the seventh day Sabbath. So that's why I say special worship on a day specifically set aside for that exclusively. On Monday, we worship God. We also work. We go to the park. We go to the gym. Whatever. We chat. We do whatever we do. Secular activity, and secular activities are not necessarily sin. They're just not spiritual. They're just not holy and not fit for the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, it's worship of a higher order because we set aside all those things. That is God's sign between him and his people. There is another day that is a mark or a sign. You see, the Sabbath is a sign of God's authority, God's power, and of course, his relationship with us. If you read the fourth commandment, listen carefully. Remember the Sabbath day. Well, let's go all ten, but we go through them briefly. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If this is all you read, would you know who's speaking? Yes or no? Come on. Listen to me. Listen to me what I said. If that is all you've read nothing else, thou shalt have no other gods before me, would you know who is speaking? No. If you were to read, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, do you know who is speaking? The answer is no. This applies to 9 of the 10. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, who is the Lord thy God? 5, honor thy father and thy mother. Who's telling me that? 6, thou shalt not kill. 7, commit adultery. Don't commit adultery. 8, thou shalt not steal. 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. 10, thou shalt not covet. But who are you to tell me what to do? The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Who are you to tell me that? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. We still ask, but who is he? In it, thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Ah! Who's asking you to keep the Sabbath? The creator of heaven and earth, not identified in any of the other nine, but it is he speaking. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, all that's in the sea, all that's on the land, God made. Did that include human beings? Yes. Where do we get our life? From the Creator. And he says to me, I am the one keeping you alive. Observe my day. The Creator. Somebody changed it. Or tried. In 321 A.D., that's 1,699 years ago, I think, if I'm calculating correctly, Constantine, the emperor of Rome, passed a law requiring rest on Sunday, except for those making growing food in the country. But in the cities, you rest, and you can work on Saturday. In the Council, I think, of Laodicea, 364, the church passed canon number 29. There must be no Judaizing on Saturday. Meaning, Judaizing was their way of saying, don't act like the Jews and keep the Sabbath. So there must be no Judaizing. Do not observe this day. Rest on Sunday, they say, but work on Saturday. The church passed that canon at that church council in 364. If you read the official documents, the Catholic Catechism, let me call a name, I'm referring to the powers, not the members who sit in the pew. If that's clear, say amen. Members of most churches have no clue what the churches believe. They have no clue what's written in official church documents. In the Catholic Catechism, and I have a copy at home, the very latest edition was produced in 1994, I believe, a worldwide bestseller. The question is, which day is the Sabbath? The answer is Saturday. You go to the Catholic, there's a catechism they use for try to evangelize. I don't recall the exact name. It says the same thing. Which day is the Sabbath? The answer is Saturday. Then why do you keep Sunday? The church had the authority to change it. Listen to a prophet in the Bible. Go to Numbers 23. Numbers 23, it's 22 minutes or 21 minutes to 8. I'm quite sure I'm going right to 8 o'clock. Our subject, identical twins are not identical. We're looking at worship. And we've discovered, based on our study of the first mention of worship, that the central principle, the spinal cord of worship, is obedience to God. What book did I say? Numbers. What chapter? 23. What verse? 19. And we'll also read verse 20. God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of man that he shall repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I have received a commandment to bless. He hath blessed. Finish the verse. And I cannot reverse it. My brothers and sisters, God blessed the seventh day and gave it to the world when he gave it to Adam and Eve. He didn't give it to the Jews. He gave it to the world. There were no Jews on earth for hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of years. When Abraham was alive, there still were no Jews. The Catholic Church claims the authority to change the day from Saturday to Sunday. Now, the Ten Commandments originated from where? Come on. Did Christ and the Father come down on Sinai, yes or no? They came down to do what? They brought the law to be spoken. It had never been spoken out loud before. It was simply in the hearts of God's faithful men and women. Eve, Adam, Noah, Seth, Shem, you name it. Enoch, Jared, Methuselah, Noah. God comes down, brings the law with him, and speaks it. For the law to be changed, someone has to go up. Change it above and bring the change down. Are you with me? You don't change the law on earth and send the change up to God. Are you following me? Are you following me? You don't change the law on earth and send the change up to God, because God is the origin of the law. It expresses His very righteousness. But a religious organization has made a change which God does not recognize. Now, if the central principle of worship is obedience, when someone knowingly observes Sunday, that person is not worshiping God. I hate to be so blunt, but truth sometimes requires bluntness. When someone, notice my words, knowingly, there are a lot of ignorant people, I say ignorant meaning uninformed on a certain point. When someone knowingly, willfully, intentionally, despite having knowledge, when they willfully observe Sunday and worship God on that day, they are not worshiping God. There's only one other person you can worship. And this is harsh, but this is truth. And again, I'm speaking to those who knowingly. I've met people who said, I know 7 days of Sabbath, but it affects my business. I can't do it. I know the 7 days of Sabbath, but I don't want to offend my family. I know the 7 days of Sabbath, but my girlfriend or my boyfriend will not be pleased. I know the 7 days of Sabbath, but it's not convenient. We have worship in Revelation 13. Worship the beast. That's the call in Revelation 13 to worship the beast. Let's listen to another call for worship as we continue. Identical twins, not identical. Let me pray first. Father in heaven, I'm coming to the last portion of this message. Be with me, I pray, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to Revelation 14. We'll read 6 and 7. We're looking at worship again, but there's a vast difference. And I saw another, Revelation 14, verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having what? The everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, what? Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship whom? Him that made heaven and earth, the seas, and the fountains of waters. Now we have two powers identified as objects of worship. In Revelation 13, we have that beast that will pass a death penalty. In Revelation 14, we have the Creator. Now we have a choice. Whom shall I worship? Worship is based on obedience. I'm trying to simplify it. You see, Revelation 14 is a warning. Do not worship that entity in chapter 13. Worship the Creator. And what day is the Creator's choice? The seventh day Sabbath. And if you don't, go to verse 9 of Revelation 14. If this doesn't change someone's mind, I don't know what will. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image. Go back to Revelation 13. Let's identify the beast and his image. Now an image is an exact reflection of an original. Are you with me? So an image and the original look just the same. Revelation 13, verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast. So we have that beast. In Revelation 13, verse 15, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast. And so both are worship the beast and the image. Now, let's go back to Revelation 14 and read verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark, and that mark is Sunday observance, in his forehead or in his hand. Forehead means you accept it. The hand means you practice it. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out how? Come on. Which is poured out how? Without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Do you understand what without mixture means? This will be the first time when God pours out his anger and there isn't one iota of mercy. And why? The issue of worship. If any man worship the beast and his image. We met the beast in Revelation 13. We met the image in Revelation 13. If any man worship the beast or obeys the beast by following the day the beast has set up, Because the principle of worship is obedience. That's why, go now with me to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, we'll read 22 and 23. 1 Samuel 15. Our subject, identical twins, not identical. Two people sitting in a church, one worships, the other worships. God accepts one, not the other. Why? The issue of obedience. Now this is Samuel speaking to Saul, who disobeyed God. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Let's look at that verse clearly. When the Jews talk about, or back in the Bible days, someone bringing sacrifices, what is the person coming to do? Give me one word. Worship. That's right. Worship. Now listen to what God tells Saul. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, what people bring when worship, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God is saying, I prefer obedience to all these worship rituals you carry out contrary to my word. I prefer that you do exactly what I say. And so God prefers obedience. By the way, let me throw this in. If Adam had obeyed, there would have been no need for Calvary. Are you with me? There would have been no need for Savior. There would have been no need for sacrifices. If he had simply obeyed. God says, that's what I want. Obedience. Christ obeyed, and the plan of salvation will work. If he had disobeyed once, it would have collapsed. God is telling us, I prefer obedience. Now, in worship, we must worship obediently. And that beast has set up a day which the whole world follows. And very few honor God's seventh-day Sabbath, despite the fact it is clearly laid out in God's Word. People find all kinds of objections to get away from the Sabbath. It was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2, 14 to 16. Even though Colossians verse 17 says, which things are a shadow of things to come. The Sabbath is not a shadow of anything to come. It is a memorial of something past. Are you following me? We find all kind of, go to Romans 14. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You don't need to be persuaded in your mind. God is persuaded in his. He chose the seventh. My appeal to you, lay aside stubbornness. God loves you. The Lord is not willing, come on, tell me, that any should perish. Worship God the way God wants. Two men went up into the temple to pray. They were identical in six areas. They were both men. They both went to pray. They went to the temple. They both addressed God as God. They both did pray, and they both stood. God's reaction to one was different from his reaction to the other. Only one was saved. Two men came to worship God. Both were men. Genesis chapter 4. Both brought an offering. Both offered that offering. God rejected one, accepted the other. Now, two persons, any gender, in these last days, come to worship. Both come. What purpose? To worship. Both come to a church building. Both offer the worship, but they come on different days. God accepts one, rejects the other. Because one regards a day as the Sabbath instituted by human beings, the other observes the day set aside by God. It is as simple as that. Let me be blunt again. To deliberately observe Sunday, knowing that the seventh day is the Sabbath biblically, is to worship that beast and the power behind the beast. It is not to worship God. Let me repeat. To knowingly, I'm not referring to those who have no knowledge. To know, because the Bible says in the time of ignorance, God winks. Jesus said, if I had not spoken unto them, they had not had sin. And I can say, if I had not come and spoken to you these 2 weeks, you would not have known, perhaps not. So those who willingly, knowingly, willfully, intentionally, fragrantly disobey God's command and observe Sunday is the Sabbath, you're not worshiping God. But God is so loving, He sent these meetings. I'm not here to tell you how to be rich, as so many preachers try to tell you. You get rich by giving them money, that's how they present it. I'm not here to tell you how to be rich, I'm here to tell you how to be right with God. If you're observing Sunday, stop. And ask God for the courage to observe His day, the seventh-day Sabbath. Let me say it again. If you're observing Sunday, and you cannot present a Bible verse to God that says the first day of the week is holy, stop. Because we can present a Bible verse to God that says the seventh day is holy. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. It's just a forceful recommendation in the interest of your salvation. I say it one more time. If you are willfully, deliberately, intentionally, purposefully, flagrantly observing Sunday, knowing that the Sabbath is the seventh day, Saturday, stop. Ask God for the courage to obey Him, to worship Him on His appointed and blessed day. Let me tell you something. On the first day, God made light. Am I right? God said, let there be light. Now, if you call Sunday a day of rest, on what day did God make the light? There's no light. The light is gone. If you call Sunday a day of rest, there is no light. Are you following me? The light is gone. He made the light on the first day. No wonder so many people are in darkness. God set an example for us by keeping the Sabbath. Jesus came in human form and He kept it. He's given it to us as a gift. Observe this day and enjoy the blessings that come with it. Do not observe as the Sabbath a day established by a man-made power. Sunday was established by human counsels. Sabbath was established by a divine council. Can you say amen? Let me say it again. Sunday as a day. Go and ask your priest. Ask your priest. Ask your pastor. Ask your prophet, as people call themselves. Ask your elder. Ask your whomever. Whatever the title is, and I'm not being disrespectful. Which day is the Bible Sabbath? They'll tell you Saturday. Then you ask, why do you keep Sunday? Well, we honor the resurrection. The Bible does not call upon us to honor the resurrection with a special day. It does not... Oh, Lord. We give God birthdays. We celebrate birthdays. Huh? We celebrate Easter. We celebrate Lent. We celebrate Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day. We celebrate, well, give me another day, Independence Day, depending on the country you're in. We celebrate all these days that God doesn't call for. He calls for one and doesn't get it. He calls for one and He gives biblical evidence. That's the one I want. He cannot get it. I call upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you willingly, deliberately, with knowledge, still observing a day that God did not set aside, I ask you in the presence of heaven and earth as my witnesses, stop. Go to your knees. Talk to God. Ask Him for the courage to obey Him. The Bible says the commandments are not grievous, 1 John 5:3, which means they are easy to observe if God is in your heart. If you ask for the power to obey, because the Ten Commandments are divine standards, and a human person cannot keep a divine standard without divine power. And the Sabbath is a divine commandment. Ask God for divine power to keep a divine law. Ask Him, and He will give you, because God says, I prefer obedience to sacrifice.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.